Wendy, yesterday the Republicans had their 41st or 42nd debate. I can't remember which one, but it's getting up there. Paul Lisnick joins us right now. Paul, of course, a political analyst for WGN-TV and CLTV, can be seen on Politics Tonight, which airs at 5:30 p.m. on CLTV. Paul, can you hear us?
I can.
How are you?
I am good.
I'm glad you watched the debates last night, Paul.
Because so
I
didn't have to?
Yes, I had to watch the Hawks game, and we'll talk about that on the second half of our show. Poor Patrick Kane, that's all I'm going to say.
Record over. What are you going
to do? Yes.
Might be over for some Republicans, too. We'll see.
I'll say something. We promoted this yesterday, and it's like this is the first time there's been a debate where it's under a year away.
Yeah.
Less than a year, finally.
Right.
And, of course, the big promo yesterday was the final one of 2015, as though we couldn't get through the end of the year without having to hear more of this. It actually is the final one for the Republicans. You know, the Democrats have one this Saturday night, so you'll want to cancel your theater plans and all of that and then stay home for a Democratic debate that nobody will probably be watching on a Saturday night.
Yeah, that's your theater right there. The Democratic debate.
Exactly.
Paul, there was some friction yesterday, not surprisingly, some of it coming between Donald Trump and Jeb Bush, but there was other friction as well. What do you make of all the friction we saw last night at the debate?
Well, let me answer it this way. A lot of people, I think, were waiting to see how many would gang up on Trump.
Yeah.
Would Rubio, would Cruz. It is clear to me that Cruz and Trump had some sort of agreement ahead of time that they were not going to go after each other because they couldn't have been any nicer to each other throughout the course of the debate.
Well, what's going on there? I noticed that as well, but why? There must be a reason behind that. What would that reason be?
I think the reason is that Cruz and Trump are actually going after the same people. So if Trump were to attack Cruz, you're going to anger a lot of the pro-Cruz people who then... Trump's hope is that when it comes to, you know, actually voting at the caucus, maybe he can get them to vote for him, and he doesn't want to anger them. Cruz has the same point of view. So because they're looking for the same people, don't anger them. Let's just hope in the end I can persuade them to come my way, would be the theory. So the person that took the hits of Trump last night was Jeb Bush, and he did a good job, actually. He had some great lines. The problem is he's so far down in the polls, I'm not sure it matters.
Is there a chance with the semi-alliance between Cruz and Trump that somewhere in the back of their minds it's, I could also be the vice president if I don't get the presidential nod? Is that an idea or not?
You know, and one of the reasons you might be saying that is because there had been some talk that Trump had said he might pick Ted Cruz as a vice presidential nominee of last night. He goes, I didn't say that. I don't really think that. I don't think any of them are playing at that level right now. This is about winning early primaries. If you can't win some of the early primaries, you're out of the game. And right now, Ted Cruz is looking very strong in Iowa. And Chris Christie, by the way, we should mention, you know, had a strong debate performance last night. He's looking very good in New Hampshire. So really, Trump is kind of seeing all of this play out. You're going to see, again, if you can't win some of those early ones, South Carolina, you can't go much further in the game.
What was the biggest surprise of last night's debate? Did anything surprise you?
Well, I don't know that I won't say surprise. I will say the biggest news of the debate was Donald Trump reaffirming that he will abide by his pledge and he will remain in the Republican Party. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, is this deja vu all over again? Didn't he take that pledge? Yeah, he did take that pledge a while back, but then lately he's been moving away from it and suggesting that once again he might just go independent. So last night he, I believe, made news when he said, I'm not going to do it, I'm staying in the Republican Party. There's also some talk about Ben Carson leaving the party because he said, you know, they're messing with the people's will if they have a brokered convention kind of a thing. Ben Carson, I'm not quite sure what side of the coin he ended up on last night, pretty much saying he would stay within the party as long as they don't mess with things at a convention. Ben Carson, by the way, not really having a strong debate performance last night. And, you know, I don't know how long he's then in for the contest. For somebody who was doing as strong as he was, we're not seeing that these days.
Paul, did they all have to sign the document that Trump signed saying if they're not the one that's picked by the party that they'll still remain loyal and support whoever is? Did they all sign that or was that just Donald Trump?
Yeah, they all did sign. They didn't. Your first question was, do they have to sign it? Nobody made them do it. But the answer is yes, they all did.
They all did.
And the only one who originally was not going to was Donald Trump. And you remember he had that moment of just going, I'm not going to make that promise. You don't treat me well, I'm out of here.
Right.
And then eventually he did because he met with Reince Priebus. So whatever promises he claimed they made. And then things weren't going his way for a while. So it was always something he was playing with. But it seems as though he's settled down on that question now.
Do we have the statistics yet on how everyone is doing in the polls?
Trump said he won. Oh, I see.
Oh. Then he won. If he says he won, he won.
Yeah, he was saying that before the debate was over last night, that early polls were telling. I was amazed. It was seconds after the debate. He says, I'm hearing reports. I've won. No, I have not yet seen polls on the results, but here's my take on who won last night. I think actually Donald Trump did do very well. He remained calm, pleasant. He attacked when he needed to, but I thought he did a good job. And I think that Chris Christie, actually, who is doing strongly, as I said, in New Hampshire, I thought had a strong debate performance last night. Remember, last time he was at the kids' table.
Right.
So he worked his way back up to the main event, and I thought he did a strong job. I think Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, they were fighting it out. That's where some of the fisticuffs were flying. And essentially, it was really interesting because this was a national security debate, but Cruz's shots at Rubio were all about immigration, where Rubio's position, which of course he was part of the Gang of Eight, putting together a bipartisan immigration deal that never went anywhere in the House, that's the biggest problem Rubio has in this primary election. Will he be forgiven in some of the evangelical, more conservative states, if you will, for his immigration positions? Ted Cruz is making sure people don't forget about that, as Cruz then had to defend his own record last night on national security.
ISIS has become a major topic, especially lately, for obvious reasons. It seemed to be a running theme with most of the candidates, if not all of the candidates, that they would do whatever it took to bomb ISIS out, and that could include innocent lives. How is that taken by the general public? I know yesterday there was some applause, actually, when people got down and dirty about what they would do with ISIS. But what is the lasting effect on all that, Paul?
Well, first of all, by the way, it seemed as though Trump had some hecklers in the crowd,
yeah,
and Rand Paul had some cheerleaders in the crowd. So that's where you heard some of that audience reaction. The only place they seemed to differ on these kinds of policies was on Assad, whether or not they would take Assad out or not, and then tying that to the growth of ISIS and whether ISIS would be a problem if Assad, you know, remains around. But aside from that, Ted Cruz had to defend a little bit of his, you know, carpet bombing approach, you know,
right,
let the sand glow kind of comment. You know, the thing is, people right now, Republicans in the primary seem to be looking for a strong leader who is strong on terror issues. And so even when Trump got hit with the notion of, you know, you're going to let innocent people die, he responded by saying, well, I seem to remember the 11 terrorists in New York who had their girlfriends go back home to their countries as they watched their boyfriends fly planes into the World Trade Center. So he said, you know, you think you're going to, I'm combining some answers here, but, you know, you think you're going to let them kill us and we're not going to kill them, and, you know, not going to happen. So they actually make a strong argument for why it is that as a consequential damage to war, the innocent people die, but it sounds pretty cruel and sounds really rough. But, you know, the way ISIS is, ISIS does hide in hospitals and schools. You know, they don't have the ISIS building downtown that we can go bomb.
Right.
They're in mixed in with regular people, and that's why innocents die when you attack and try and kill them.
Paul, can I ask you this? When Ben Carson says or does something that's perceived to be outrageous, he loses points. But when Donald Trump says something that's perceived to be outrageous, he seems to gain momentum and points. What's the difference between those two? Why does it play out differently?
Well, because Ben Carson's, it's not that he's saying things outrageously, it's almost that he's saying things without a base of solid knowledge behind it. I want to be careful because whenever I'm critical of Ben Carson, the emails start coming to me. You know,
right.
I'm being as neutral as I can in my analysis, and it's just that Ben Carson, who had to show that he's done some homework on the Middle East, has difficulty showing he has a grasp of those issues. But his supporters are, you know, certainly very much behind him. Donald Trump, on the other hand, the reason he gets away with all of these things he says is because I'm not sure people, well, number one, there are people who say, look, he's right. You know, these extreme comments, they go against the Constitution and everything else, but they don't care. You're dealing with, in the primary season, people who do speak in the extreme and have some of those views, so he's music to their ears. In addition, I think it's about the strength of his presentation. It's not so much sometimes what he's saying as how he's saying it and how he takes no prisoners, and people seem to respect it. You know, we still don't know when he has these big crowds at events. Are people going for the spectacle, or are they going because they support him? It's probably a mixture of the two.
What do we expect from not only the leaders in the next few weeks or months, but the people who are trailing, guys like Kasich? What does he have to do to get noticed at this point, by the way?
Well, you know, if they're not getting, and you know, and he tries, man, at these debates, he tries. You know, now with the debate kind of quiet until next year, we're only 7 weeks away from Iowa, so we'll have a little more play on stage. But these guys have to be on the ground, and you're going to see them on the ground in Iowa, in New Hampshire, shaking hands and meeting people. And that's what, especially Iowa, where you have the caucus system, that's pretty much what they have to do. It's not a TV time situation as much as it is meeting with every possible person they can meet who will cast a vote at the caucus. It's going to be really tough for some of these folks who don't seem to be catching fire. Rand Paul, John Kasich, you know, even go to the kids' table. Lindsey Graham. I got to tell you, if you'd watched the kids' debate last night,
yeah.
Lindsey Graham, I think, was stellar. You, whether or not you agree with his positions, there is nobody as strong, as certain, as defined as he is, and this guy just can't catch any fire, yet he's saying a lot of things that I would think many conservatives would believe in. He wants to go over with troops. He wants to take care of it. He promises another 9/11 unless he's president. He's really very, very strong in his rhetoric, but there is something simply, maybe it's being a senator, maybe it's just being, I don't know, whatever it is, he is not catching on. I think it's after Iowa. And New Hampshire, certainly, a lot of these guys are going to drop out. There'll be no money there, and they'll drop out. That's why I say these first contests are very important. And but remember, you know, it's not like the winner of Iowa becomes president of the United States, but it does keep him around for a while.
That's Paul Liznick, political analyst for WGN-TV and CLTV. Watch him 5:30 p.m. on CLTV for Politics Tonight. Paul, thanks so much. We really appreciate it.
Hey, happy holidays, guys. By the way, you can catch the repeats at 10 o'clock. If, you know, like you guys are busy at 5:30, tune in at 10.
I watch them both times.
And Mike Toomey, by the way, Mike Toomey is sitting right next to me doing I have no idea what, and he is just waving. He wants me to say hi to you.
So. Tell him we said hello back. And that the Joker's on the loose.
And the Joker's on the loose.
And Robin know that the Joker's on the loose.
Indeed. He's laughing and smiling away.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, guys.
Happy holidays.
You too.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then more show ahead. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.